So I was correct with my interpretation of TPM as being total productive maintenance. And it is a program that came out about the time and came to the States about the time we had total quality management, TQM. And it's a Japanese-based approach, but it was a slightly different than just reliability-centered maintenance. Now, of course, there was plenty of overlap, but TPM had a couple of other nuances that made it unique compared to the reliability-centered maintenance. Now, one of the elements of TPM, total productive maintenance, is to maximize equipment effectiveness. Now, if you remember from system effectiveness, it's a combination of reliability, availability, and capability, that it's capable of doing what it's doing. In a factory setting, we want systems that run at their desired speeds and operation, have the appropriate throughput, and minimize the number of errors or defects that they have. So TPM isn't just about keeping the equipment running. It's keeping the equipment running well. And it's a subtle difference, but it brings the focus back onto improving the functionality and the performance of the equipment, not just keeping it running. So the idea is that much like reliability-centered maintenance, we still need to do preventative maintenance for the elements that it would benefit from that. So things that do exhibit wear-out mechanisms then would have preventative actions taken to either extend its useful life or to replace the system and effectively reducing the system level chance of failure. But the other interesting part was, and it's much like TQM, is that it incorporates all of the different departments and parts of the organization in the effort. So rather than just the maintenance team, it included operators and managers and senior managers and operators. In one factory I visited some years ago, at the end of every shift, there was a 20 to 30 minute period when everybody in the building basically cleaned and maintained the assembly equipment. This was a circuit manufacturing plant, and it was the cleanest and most efficient running system I'd ever seen. There was very rarely a shutdown or disruption in the flow of the line. And the cleaning process, when I inquired about it, wasn't just to give the operators something to do different at the shift change. It was to allow the team to spot problems or issues. If there was an accumulation of oil, for example, in a place, then there was probably a leak in the line that was part of the lubrication system, for example. So if you park your car in a place where you can't spot a fluid leakage, it makes it harder for you to identify the problem before the damage occurs to whatever system had lost the fluid, say coolant fluid or lubrication. But it wasn't just the operators. Supervisors and managers and everybody else had assigned tasks, from sweeping floors to cleaning windows to wiping down equipment to cleaning out catches and trays to checking alignment to it got into some very technical maintenance activities in order to make sure the equipment was in its best possible condition for the start of the next shift. But it also was a large part of the organization, or as far as I could tell, everybody in the organization was involved, more than just committed, to the process of maintaining and updating the equipment and looking for signs of trouble well before the failure occurred. And what happened was, because of this almost hour and a half per day with this three-shift group, doing this regular ongoing maintenance and checkups of their system is they rarely were down for any reason during their normal operations. Now, even in those cleaning periods and stuff, is that maintenance that would take a line down, they would try to work within as close as possible to those normal shutdown periods. Again, minimizing the disruption to the production schedule. But there were small groups and other teams that would meet and discuss how well the equipment was running or if there was anomalies or issues that they saw. Some things they couldn't do themselves, so those small groups then would identify and raise issues to the maintenance team that then would investigate it further and execute those repairs as needed. But it was it wasn't just the maintenance team that was in charge of the equipment, and it wasn't just the operators. It really was the entire organization. And that's really the goal. Is we often have a huge investment in a factory for the equipment that, say, in a circuit manufacturing, for the soldering and pick-and-place equipment and soldering equipment and so on. That can get pretty expensive. Now, getting the most out of the equipment means that it has to operate. And it doesn't mean that it just puts parts down and solders them. It has to put them down correctly and solder them well in order for us to have zero defects. So if the goal is to make good products as well as we can according to the design, then TPM was one of the consistent goals with that objective. And that goal actually could be its senior management or the operators. And so it was a single mindset throughout the organization. Now, the other characteristic of TPM is that maintenance is not broken out by the maintenance team, and they execute all of the maintenance. Operators and supervisors and many others in the organization had a part and were trained to measure, interpret, analyze, adjust, and fix basic parts of their equipment. When it got more complicated, when they needed a specialized skill, or then the maintenance teams would get involved. But it was the shared maintenance approach that typifies the TPM kind of program. Now, productive maintenance is really looking at minimizing the six big losses. And you can see each of these on the screen. But the idea is that we want the equipment to run as well as it's possible to run, as long and as often as necessary for it to be effective. The downtime part was an investment in making sure that the remaining time that we expected the system to operate, that it did operate and created good products along the way. And so it's slightly different than reliability-centered maintenance, but it has the same basic concept of minimizing downtime for your equipment. If you're familiar with the quality world and in about the 70s and 80s, the quality circles were a pretty big thing. And if you're not familiar with that, I'm going to leave you hanging a little bit and ask you to take a look at, I think it's Duran's Quality Handbook and a few other books on quality, or just look it up online. And what's the difference between a quality circle and total productive maintenance? There's some subtle differences, yet they're all also very similar. In the next section, we'll take a look at another way to look at maintenance, and it deals more with setting goals, and there's a particular process that we'll outline in the next lesson.